be seated. So today we've been working through the book of Acts. We've been looking at some details in the book of Acts. We've spent quite a few weeks going through portions of the book of Acts. And so today we're going to finish up that series today. And I just have a couple questions to start off with. Like, have you ever felt like something is missing in life? Have you ever felt like as the details of your life goes, there should be something more? Like there's something bigger than you that you're like, there's just this, I don't know what it is. There's something gnawing at you a little bit. There's some, man, there's got to be more. Or maybe you've had these thoughts of, God wants me part of something. He's calling me to something. I just not sure what it is. Or maybe you've spent time, you've been praying, and you find that God is, you're like, yes, God, you're calling me. I know you want me in it's serving you. You want me to do something. But you just aren't sure what it is exactly he is calling you to do. Well, today, as we finish up the book of Acts, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about God's calling on your life. You know, quite a few years ago, there were these pictures that were sent around Facebook. They were, I don't know if they were paintings for sure or not, but they were a bunch of dots. And like, if you stared at those dots long enough, you could figure out what the hidden picture was. Do you remember those things? Like, I remember sitting there staring at this stuff going, I see all these colored dots. I don't know exactly what it is, but somebody says there's something in the middle of it. And like, my kids are like, Dad, it's a flamingo, like right there. Can't you see it? I mean, I'm trying to look one side, the other side, blow it up, make it bigger, stare at it longer, squint my eyes, do all that kind of stuff, you know. And I'm noticing all these little colored dots, but I'm just not figuring out the big picture. And then I got challenged because one of them that came around said, you are one out of five people can see this, you know. And of course, I don't want to be those other four. So I, you know, sit there and you just spend time staring at this thing, bleeding from your eyes, trying to figure this out. And oh, look, it's Mark Twain. Oh, great. All that time I just wasted just to see a picture of Mark Twain. But you know, sometimes you see it, we have all these dots and these details, and sometimes you have to actually step back from that, get a little bit different angle to see the big picture. And so we have been going through the book of Acts. We've been talking about some details. As we've gone through the book of Acts, we have talked about different things that have happened in the book of Acts. Luke had recorded how the church began. The Holy Spirit came with fire and the sound of a rushing wind. And then next thing you know, they're out preaching and they have this power of God in them and the church is born. And then we talked about some of the details. How were the people in the church taken care of? And even how did God take care of the church when we saw and talked through Ananias and Sapphira? So today, as we finish this up, what we're going to do is we are actually going to take a step back from the details and try to stare at this for a few minutes and see what we can see. See the big picture. What is that thing that Luke has been trying to communicate through the book of Acts? Because, you know, after my eyes were bleeding and I saw Mark Twain and I was all excited, I'm one out of five people that can see this. You know what I did with the picture? I would send it on because I'm like, you're not going to see it. But every time I get to look at that picture, guess what I see? I no longer see the dots. They're not all that important. I see Mark Twain or a flamingo. And so once you get that figured out, once you've seen the big picture of those colorful dots and all that kind of stuff, you can't unsee it. Like, I had a really hard time like zooming my eyes back out just to see the colored dots again. I could always see the picture. And so today, as we step back out of the details of the book of Acts, that's what we're going to do. We're going to step back from the details that Luke dotted for us, so that we can see this big picture, God's big, grand, master. masterpiece of what he is doing and what he's doing with the church. And in that, I believe we're actually going to see our calling. So as Luke put together the book of Luke and the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, you know, scrolls were limited. They were a certain length, and he had to figure out what to write. And so he's writing this down on here, and he had to decide, prayerfully decide what's important. And so as he was praying and the Lord was leading, he was writing down these details, these dots in history. And I bet you if we took a minute and I just went around to each one of you and said, hey, what's important? I bet you we get just as many answers of what's important as our people in here. Maybe a couple of duplicates, you know, they'd be the same color. But we would get a bunch of different answers. And so in that, those details of life are what they're the things that dot our life. They're the things that help us to relate, and the things that God can use in his grand scheme of things. So Luke wrote down these details, and we've looked, like I said, we've looked at some of them. We're actually going to, again, take that step back and try to see the big picture. One thing Luke does in the book of Acts is about 10 or 12 times he writes down these things that I would call summary statements. So he makes these statements throughout the book of Acts just to help us stay on track, and I think also to get us to see the big picture within those details. So we're going to go through a few of those summary statements, but before we do, I just wanted to remind us, how did we even get to this point of Scripture? How did we even get to the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit coming and this church being born? Well, as you know, God created man. He put him in a garden, and man, Adam and Eve, and they were living there for a while, and God would come and talk with them. And then this evil, rebellious spirit named Satan came, and he talked to Adam and Eve, and he deceived them, and they chose to rebel with Satan against God. And man sinned for the first time, and man was separated from God. And God knew that happened, and he came down, and he walked in the garden with them, and he's like, Adam, where are you? And he talks with Adam and Eve, and in the midst of this, Adam and Eve put on some fig leaves to cover themselves, to make clothes, to try to make it look like they were just the same as they were before. God knew. And so what God does is God kills an animal for the first time, the first sacrifice for sin, to make clothes for Adam and Eve. And then as we fast forward into history, there's this guy named Abraham and his wife Sarah, and they're in their 90s, and they haven't had kids yet. And God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And this nation, every nation of the world is going to come to. It's going to be great. It's going to be there's going to be as many people as the stars. And he promises that they're going to have a son, and they have a son, Isaac. And through Isaac, this nation of Israel is born. And this is what the Lord said to the nation of Israel. You will be my light to the nations. And so Israel is this light. They have this job to do. From Israel, God also said that he would bless the world with the coming of a son, a male offspring. And we're about to celebrate his birth. The birth of Jesus, born of a woman, Mary. And Jesus comes, God in the flesh comes down and once again walks with man, sinful man, wanting mankind to know who he is. Just like in the garden. And Jesus, just like in the garden, instead of killing another animal to cover sin, Jesus takes on sin, sacrifices himself. He dies, he's buried, he's raised 3 days later, and he's alive and well. But he says, I can't stay. I'm going to go. And when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And this is where the book of Acts comes in. The book of Acts starts the church when the Holy Spirit comes down and indwells people, human beings, for the first time ever on the planet. The church is born. And this is what Jesus said to the church: go into all the world and make disciples. And so that's where we are in the book of Acts. So what we find, what we've been talking about so far is the details. And so let's just take a few minutes just to step back and look at these summary statements so that we can step back and see the big picture of what God is doing and what his plan is. The book of Acts, by the way, takes up about 30 years of church history. Just 30 years. But I want to read you some of these summary statements of what Luke records here, just so that we can see this big picture. So Acts 2, 46 to 47. This is at the birth of the church. There's the Holy Spirit has come down. Peter has just preached this awesome and incredible sermon. About 3,000 people believe because they hear the message. Says this: every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved. So right after, man, this message is going out and people are getting saved. The message is continuing to go. In chapter 5, 12 to 14, following the death of Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit, for deceiving the church, God keeping his church pure, the message of the gospel continues to go out and continues to increase. Continues to increase. Acts 6, 7. So the word of the Lord spread, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is following where Stephen and six other guys are chosen to serve tables. Because within the church, not everything was great. There was unity in Jesus, but there wasn't unity between groups of people. There was the Greek-speaking Jews, and there were the Hebrew-speaking Jews. And the Greek-speaking Jews, their widows weren't getting the daily distribution of food. And so some guys were chosen to fix that problem, to make sure everybody got their food. And in that, we get this summary statement, stepping back out and realizing and seeing that, again, the church is increasing. Yes, there's problems, but guess what? The message is increasing. The number of believers is increasing. Acts 8, 4. This is following the persecution of Stephen. So Stephen, the guy chosen just to serve tables, is now out sharing the gospel with people, and he is being persecuted. In fact, he was the first martyr. He was stoned to death because of the message of Jesus. And this is what it says: those who had been scattered because of that persecution preached the word wherever they went. So in Jerusalem, Stephen is stoned, his body is left bloody. And then there's this guy named Saul, and Saul is persecuting the church. He was standing there when Stephen was stoned, and he continues to go after the church, killing people, putting them in prison, pulling mothers and fathers away from their kids and throwing them into prison, or just straight out killing them. And what happens to the message of the gospel? The people that are scattered, they continue to preach the message of the gospel. Then in chapter 9, verse 31, this is following. So Saul is this persecutor of the church, and as he's like, I am going to chase them down. They think if they leave Jerusalem, they're going to get away from me? No way. I'm going to follow them up to the city of Damascus, and when I get there, I am going to kill them. I'm going to send some back to prison. I'm going to get them, no matter what. And as he's traveling up to Damascus, the Lord appears to him in the sky, and he falls to the ground off his horse, and there's this great light, and he says, Lord, who are you? He says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And this is the result. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed time of peace, and they were strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The church increased in numbers. So in times of persecution, the church was increasing in numbers. In times of peace, the church was increasing in numbers. These are the summary. These are those dots that Luke is putting out there for us. In chapter 10, there's a guy named Cornelius, and Peter, being a devout Jew, would never go into the house of a Gentile. The segregation between Jew and non-Jew was something we really can't comprehend. There's an incredible wall there. And yet God told Peter, go talk to Cornelius. He goes and he walks into Cornelius' house, the first time he's ever been in a Gentile house, and he shares the message of Jesus. Cornelius and his whole household believe the gospel and they're saved. The Holy Spirit comes on them. They speak in tongues. There's amazing things going on. And the one thing they're doing is they're praising God. First Gentile family to come and understand the gospel message. The gospel continuing to go forth. Acts 12:24. This is following the death, the execution of James. James is the brother of John. John is the one who wrote the Gospel of John and Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And his brother is arrested by Herod, which makes the Jews super happy. The ones that don't believe in Jesus, they're like, this is great. We're going to crush them. They're going to be done. We got one of their leaders. And so Herod kills him, puts him to death. And this is what it says. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Not get crushed, not be destroyed, but flourish. Acts 19, verse 20. In probably the most dark city on the planet, the city of Ephesus, we get this story. Paul has been in Ephesus. He's there. He's been traveling through the town. He's found out that there are gods of every sort. They have all kinds of gods. They have all kinds of magic incantations and magicians and witches and whatever else going on in this city. It's just spiritually dark. So what happens is, as he preaches the word, there's believers that people start believing, and they understand the gospel, and they become part of the church. And as the Spirit is working on them, they say, you know what? We have all of these magic books. I have this library, this shelf full of magical incantations and worship of other gods. And they take them to the center of the city, and they throw them in a pile, and they burn them. And they estimate that the cost of these books was about $1 million. Burn all these books. And this is what it says. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Summary statement. What is going on? See, as we look at these summary statements, what we can see is we get to step back and we get to see the big picture. And once you see the big picture, once you see what the picture is revealing, you can't unsee it. You'll always see it. Acts 28:30-31. So again, Luke has these scrolls, and you know, he's been writing to Theophilus about the history of the church and the details, and jumping out and showing these summary statements. And he gets down towards the end, and he's like, I don't have much scroll left. Okay, I got to write about Paul being in prison. Paul, who was Saul, had about 3 missionary journeys that are recorded. And he went around the known Roman world, and he preached the gospel all through Turkey, off into Greece. Some think even he went out to Spain. His biggest desire was to get to Rome. Why? Because it was the center of the Gentile world at the time. And he knew that if he could get the message there, the message would just go live, as we say. It'd be huge. But Paul gets to Rome, but he doesn't get to Rome the way he wanted to. Paul was accused of some crimes that he was actually innocent of breaking some Roman laws that he didn't break. The Jews accused him of some things. And so Paul ends up in Rome under house arrest. And this is what it says. for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. 31. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. As Acts is being written and Luke is getting to the end of his page and he's looking, he's like, I only have a little bit left. Lord, how do I do this? How do I end this? He's writing about Paul, and we see that Paul is under house arrest. He's got the ankle bracelet on. He can't go anywhere without them knowing where he's at. But people can come to him. And as they come to him, as he invites him, as other people invite him, he is free, completely free to share the gospel. And actually, the last word on the scroll, the original letter of Acts, the last word in Greek means unhindered, without hindrance. See, Paul was arrested, and he was locked in a house. He couldn't go anywhere. But the gospel is never locked. It's never stuck. It's always free to roam. Paul, throughout his 3 missionary journeys, seemed to almost always experience this ability, this freedom to just wander around the countryside, except for a few times where he was thrown in prison for a night or a couple of days. And there was a couple of shipwrecks, maybe 5, and one of them he was literally floating out at sea on a board for like 36 hours. That'd be horrible. But the message of the gospel continues to go forward. And as we look at this, as we see this last Greek word, as we see this without hindrance, Luke is communicating in a very important truth that no matter what is going on in the details, God's big picture is still at work. So hopefully, as we look through these summary statements, hopefully it's made sense. Hopefully you've stepped back and you can see the flamingo. You can see Mark Twain. You can see the big picture of God in the dots. As we looked at these summary statements, the things that keep coming back is what? The gospel went forth and it increased. The church grew in number. It flourished. The big picture of the book of Acts. I believe that Luke puts these summary statements in here so that we, as we look at it, as we read through it, we can step back and see what God is doing in the midst of the details. Luke is telling us God's purpose for the church cannot fail. God's plan cannot be stopped. The gospel will go out. Matthew 24:14 says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. Another promise and summary statement. The gospel will go to the ends of the earth, regardless of opposition. Whether it's a time of peace or whether it's a time of persecution, the gospel will go to every nation on this planet. The thing is somebody needs to take it. We've talked about how some things that the church has suffered in this 30-year period that Luke records. There's prison, there's beatings, there's killings. The church was suffering, but the gospel is going forward. Today, God's word still goes out without hindrance. Lives are being changed. People's eternal destiny is being changed. People on their way to hell are hearing the message of Jesus Christ, and now they're on the way to be with their Creator forever. A whole new kingdom. So even though the church suffers, even though the people that take the message can suffer, the message is never hindered. See, Luke ends the book of Acts without ending it. As you read through the book of Acts and you get to this part, it just leaves Paul alive sitting in a house. And the last word is unhindered. He's unhindered. It means it continues on. And sometimes, like, as you read it, it's almost like, where's chapter 29? Like, why isn't there a chapter 29 in the book of Acts? There is. It's us. We're chapter 29. We're the ones that the gospel has come to. By the way, we live in the uttermost parts of the earth compared to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We're part of the uttermost parts. And I can prove to you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the gospel goes out unhindered, even though there's opposition and trouble. How many in here believe the message? How many are his? If you are a believer here today, it proves the gospel goes unhindered. Lives are changed. Someone has come and told you the message. God's plan goes unhindered. As we look at those summary statements, and as we read that the gospel is going to go to all the nations, we see the big picture. So just like I couldn't send those pictures off and share those pictures around Facebook without always seeing Mark Twain's face, we can't leave here today without seeing God's big picture and what he is doing, what the book of Acts is actually about, and what Luke was trying to communicate. But the gospel has suffered. It continues to suffer today. I want to read you some ways that the church is suffering today. Open Doors International reported this last year. 215 million Christians experienced high levels of persecution in countries on their World Watch list. It represents 1 out of 12 Christians worldwide are being persecuted. North Korea is still ranked number one on the list for the 16th consecutive year. You know there's believers in North Korea? Do you know that the church is growing? During the reporting of the 2018 World Watch List, 3,066 Christians were killed. 1,252 were abducted. 1,020 were raped and assaulted. 793 churches were attacked. But lives are still being changed. Because believers are hearing and seeing the big picture. They're sharing the gospel that has changed their life. And they're willing to share with the people around them. Over 3,000 Christians were killed this year. The gospel is still going forth. It can't be stopped. And Jesus said that the message of the kingdom will be preached in every nation. It can't be stopped. They can put us in prison. They can kill us. But Jesus is bigger than them. His word is more sure depth in their attacks. It will be preached to all the kingdoms, all the nations of the world. Right now, as we prepare our hearts and our families and our Christmas trees and plan presents and all that amazing stuff that we get to do, there are 5 countries in the world that Christmas, celebrating Christmas is occurring. North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Somalia, Tajikistan, and portions of Indonesia. Illegal. No Christmas tree, no presents, which don't make Christmas anyway. But no celebrating the birth of the Savior. It's not allowed. And if they find you, we will have a prison ministry, I guess. But we're not done. There are still billions who have never heard this message. There are people groups, believe it or not, in 2018 that don't know what we're doing. They can't. This is a list of the people groups that have no gospel message because no one's told them. I would say there's probably 50 people groups listed per page. This list represents about 42% of the world's population. And I'm not talking about people who don't believe. I'm talking about people who nobody has ever told. The gospel is still going forth. There are efforts to reach these people. There are people translating the New Testament. There are people changing where they live, choosing to live in different places just to reach these people. And God is doing something absolutely mind-blowing right now. Out of this list, about 17% of them live here in the U.S. Unreached people group around the world are coming to the U.S. for a better life, more money. I don't know. We hear of refugees coming to the U.S., and I don't know how you personally feel about that. But honestly, it doesn't matter how you feel. That is what God's big picture is. God is bringing people who have never heard the gospel to a land saturated with it. God's big picture. And many of us work at companies who have international employees, or you travel overseas, and you work. You go to Japan, you go to Thailand, you go to Taiwan, wherever you go. Is God sending you there just to help your company have better products? Or is God doing something different? Most of us go to the doctor. Some of us avoid that a lot, but we go to the doctor. Does your doctor believe? Is your doctor a believer? Your dentist? the people in your life that you see so often that talk and you smile and great day and those things are great, but do they know Jesus? Do they know the gospel? We live in neighborhoods full of people who need to know the gospel. We live in a world where at least 42% of the whole population has never heard the message in 2,000 years. Now that we've stepped back, from the details of the book of Acts and we've watched the church grow and increase and we've watched, no matter what happens in their life, they're sharing the message. The message is going out. Lives are being changed. We can't unsee that. Now that you've seen this list, you can't unsee it. There are billions of people like you, like me, dying, never heard of Jesus ever, and going to hell. Acts 1:18 says this. Jesus, as he was about to ascend back into heaven, wanted to assure those that believed the message that he was not going to leave us alone, that he was giving us the power not to have good lives, but to reach the world with the gospel message. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses, my witnesses. See, God does want you to be part of something. I'm going to dare to say that longing that you've had, that there's something missing in my Christian walk, there's something missing. It's God's good picture. God wants you to be part of something. He wants me to be part of something. He, not only does he want, but he created us to be part of what he sees as important. People. God is calling you to something beyond yourself. Something we can't do. That's why he's given us the Spirit, so that we can be his witnesses. Everywhere. To every nation. So if you're ever wondering if you've had a calling from God, yes, you have. He's calling you and he's calling me to be his witnesses to the nations. To every people group, language group, tribe, every nation. This is God's big picture for each one of us. The details for each of us could be different. We have different jobs. We have different circles of life, different influences, different relationships. But now that you've seen his big picture, you can't see the dots anymore. The details don't matter. What matters is, am I living God's big picture? His call on my life. So today, as we have seen that there are billions of people who have yet to hear the gospel message, I want us to realize that his calling on our life is sure and it's equal for each one of us. We have the same calling. The summary statements that Luke has placed in the book of Acts are for us to see what God's doing and what we're to be part of. We are Acts 29. We are to take this gospel message to the rest of the world. One last thing. I don't know if you recognize this or not, but we truly do have the most important message that has ever been given on this planet. There is rescue in Jesus. So I hope today, I hope this is an encouragement to know that God has called you to something. And that something is to take his message, to be his witnesses to everyone on this planet. And honestly, I hope it's made us all a little uncomfortable. And we'll go to him. And by faith, take up this calling he's called us to. Let me pray. Father, you said that every nation, your message of this kingdom is going to go to every nation. And I know it will. And then the end will come. God, we are so thankful for the message coming here, changing our lives, changing us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from being guilty enemies of you to being children and friends of our Creator. God, help us to see the big picture and not to unsee it. God, you have called us all to share this message. That is your purpose of the church. Thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you for showing us that through this book. Lord, may we take this message as we leave today. In Jesus' name, amen.